You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Let's bring Pastor Clive Dutton into the conversation. Good afternoon, sir. Always thank you for taking the time out to come through.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. So crime, boy. Crime. You could hear the disparity in my voice. I really fed up, you know. I fed up talking about this thing.
I hear that.
You know? So what we got to do, boy? I mean, what has been done, what needs to be done? You're a man on the been talking about this for years, so I don't know if anybody has any government implored your services to come in to be a part of, you know, who they wanted to be a part of, or they're just ignoring you. Right, true. What's going on?
Well, good afternoon to the listening public and those viewing online. Well, we have reached where we have reached because consistent governments had ignored what I regard as the genuine players. It's 46 years I'm in this thing, you know.
And look at that man like you.
And I'm not just talking because I have institutions that I have set up.
Yeah.
Like the rehab center in Matura, the Heart Home in Grandy. We now have two counseling centers, like four counseling centers, home book centers in Matura and Brickfield. We now started a set of support groups in Mid-South, that's San Fernando, if you please, forgive the phone. All right, so that is where I am at. So I think, okay, let me tell you my frank opinion on where we are is that it seems as if we don't change the mindset of the population. We live in a constant state of emergency. Mm-hmm. Whether you have a legal state of emergency or not, we are going to be in a state
changing the minds. How do you change the mindset of a population? When I mean your population already done, we think eat our food. If somebody want to get things done, they go bribe this one thing. That's how we are. How do you change the mindset of our population?
Well, I'll tell you what a lodge man told me recently. He said, what will have to happen is that we will reap the result. You know, the good book say we sow the wind, we reap the whirlwind. We're going to reap the whirlwind, and the whirlwind will be very unkind to us.
Yeah.
He's talking about total anarchy. Because I will give you a case this afternoon, that I have been asked to get involved in. It's a guy who has lost his land. It has cost him $500,000. I'm talking about a case right now in the quarter.
Yeah.
It has cost him, I believe, $500,000. He has taken on to defend him to get back the land. And I'll tell you how. That's why I want to be honest with you. When I hear people talking about the radar, you know, should have no radar and everything else, and the PM shouldn't go to another sovereign state, we cannot fight this thing alone, you know.
No.
It's totally impossible, but I'll give you this case. Now, I met this guy when he was, I think, 9 years old. He told me, he came to my office, he had to run from Tobago. You know, you would normally think Trinidadians will run to Tobago for sanctuary. He had to run from Tobago. His parents and them have land, and it's two cases that I'm involved in that involve a significant portion of land. The first case is a woman, the accomplice to the murderer in Tobago, the assassin in Tobago, and by the way, Tobago has assassins. The assassin told her, leave that guy. He was supposed to kill her. And he come and tell her, I don't have a heart to kill you.
Right.
He was employed to kill her. And he said, get out of that.
Over the land.
She grabbed. And I asked her, I said, well, what really went on there? Where you get all this money to bring in all this cocaine into both Tobago and Trinidad and the region? Where you all that money? He said, well, what the young fellas are doing in Tobago is that they get the property and they convert the property into drug money. That is how they get the money, because no poor boy bringing in cocaine, you know.
Right.
I'll be quite frank about that. So she left and she said, Pastor, I want to join you in the fight. The other case, however, is more complex because it involves a lot of agencies. And Attorney Phelps always tells me, when the institutions get corrupt, anarchy is at the door. And we are experiencing anarchy right now.
But
he came, he said, Pastor, you baptized me when I was 9 in Tobago. He says, my father has passed on the land to me. And he up comes this top criminal in Tobago who has a fake deed. All right? So the fake deed says it's your land. He goes to the police. And I mean, I'm talking straight here.
Yeah.
As I love to talk. and the police tells him, get out of Tobago, run to Trinidad.
That's what the police tell him?
That's the police intervention. Uh-huh. You run, all right?
Yeah.
It so happens that a senior financial consultant is one of the witnesses.
Uh-huh.
You know, after that witness, it's like Randall Hector. Randall Hector didn't die in that case first, you know, was the female witness who was shot and killed first. And then Hector was killed. So that there are some people who are so well positioned in the criminal hierarchy that they could interrupt justice.
Uh-huh.
And that, to my mind, is something we have got to look at carefully. He said, so he came to Trinidad. He hired a top cop lawyer. You could guess who we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
All right. It already cost him $500,000, hoping to win the case so that the proceeds, you know, from the case could be paid to the what he owes the attorneys, and he owes the attorney a significant amount.
Yeah.
My problem is this, and I will say this, I am 76 years old now. According to the Bible, I'm 6 years over time.
Hmm.
But I will keep saying this until I die, or until they shoot me. How in heaven's name you could have a situation where the police tells the guy, you run to Trinidad.
Uh-huh.
That's their level of intervention. And this guy, like Guerra, with DG Holmes, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
This guy has significant business interests and feels he could kidnap land. Or we know talk about kidnap young people, you know what I mean, and extort money from the family.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, obviously, is a law unto himself. And when we encourage that by allowing what is evil to reign,
mm-hmm.
you have what you have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have said before, the value missing in the psyche of our country, all right, is courage. So if you don't have courage, you have fear. And if the bandits feel that you scared of them,
mm-hmm.
especially the guys, I have been talking about the Northwest Drug Cartel long before Trump was around.
Mm-hmm.
In this country, the Northwest Drug Cartel, we have poisoned the chalice of Tobago. So Tobago is operating just like us. And that is the truth. I spoke to a significant political player in Tobago. And I said, but how we reach where we reach,
mm-hmm.
because Mount St. George community has asked me to intervene, and we started with the formation of a support groups, and I think they're calling it Georgia Love, so it's Mount St. George we're talking about,
right.
And they have had killings, and I marched through Georgia,
mm-hmm.
Mount St. George. I was amazed they put in on people's names who got shot and killed,
mm-hmm.
in that community. Well, since our intervention, I think we had 2 murders after that, but it has gone down considerably.
Yeah.
But the point is, if we continue to display fear and no courage, and we go along and say, here the attitude now of Trinidadians and Tobagonians, huh? If you can't beat them, join them.
Mm.
So take what you could take, what you could benefit you, play it safe,
mm-hmm.
and just try to have a good night's sleep.
A for apple, B for bat, C for yourself.
Yes, C for yourself.
Mm.
That's right. That is where it has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
but I mean, and like we said, well, the fear that is instilled in people, I mean, that is a part of the tactic to instill fear in people so they wouldn't want to do anything about it.
Well, I'll tell you about a guy, a principal of a school in the East West Corridor.
Mm.
And let me say, secondary school in Aranguez. Now, I taught Barataria North Secondary, you know, when it was Barataria Junior Secondary.
Mm-hmm.
When I left in 1979 to enter ministry after a career of teaching,
mm-hmm.
I remember we had the first gang fight within Barataria, what is now called North,
mm-hmm.
and Barataria South. Barataria mm-hmm. South was Barataria Comprehensive School. If you remember 1979 well, the police went to intervene in an attack by the South School on the North School.
Mm.
And the police can intervene. They had to call for backup.
Mm.
Things are so intense there. And I say 1979 was a watershed year for this country. Not so much 1970, but 1979
mm-hmm.
was a watershed. Now, Eric Williams had great things in mind for the shift system, but it was a poorly conceived system.
Right.
I taught guys who were clocking in, and, you know what I mean, 10 days, coming into the school in my form 3-8, and when they went back out at 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know the students, you know. We knew the very bad and the very good.
Mm-hmm.
So you had about, it was 981 plus another 900, almost 2,000 students. And you knew 10 of them, the top 5 and the worst 5.
Mm-hmm.
We knew. We had a girl from my church. I was so shocked in that school, who was in a group with 6 men, and all of them taking turns having sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened, the morning shift students had absolutely no supervision at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So all hell broke loose there.
Yeah, I remember Dr. Morgan Job always used to say that junior secondary whole ideology was one of the worst things that happened.
One of the worst things happened to us. Worse. Agree. But this principal, I went to do the graduation, mm-hmm. and the first thing that shook me, all right, was the fact that the school is a large school, but they barely had 40 students for graduation.
Huh.
And he said that's a natural outcome because that school had major gang warfare. Yeah. When Tim Gopi Singh, Dr. Gopi Singh, was the education minister, a fight broke out in front. And some of these guys still have respect for ministers because I went in that school after and nothing happened.
Uh-huh.
They asked me to confront those who were involved in criminality,
mm-hmm.
and I spent an hour with them. I was very open and frank with them,
mm-hmm.
and nothing happened after that. But what I'm saying is that we must know where we are. I must tell you, a major challenge. I told Zahir Ali that he's now the policy advisor to the Minister of Homeland Defense, and if I had a chance to tell Mr. Roger Alexander, I'll tell him the same thing. In Christianity today, we have a window that we're trying to penetrate, to build bridges.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 1040 window. That's all the areas that have radicals, from China to India to Indonesia, mm-hmm. the most populous Islamic territory in the world, trying to build bridges.
Mm.
Indonesia has been a classic example of a success. You know, Rabindranath Tagore, the philosopher, said one day, the only way we could solve the problems of society is when East meets West. He said that.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Pandey said almost the same thing in a different language. He said we must endeavor to unite Kuva with Lavantil. That's what he said.
Unite Kuva with Lavantil?
Yes, he said that. Now, the thing is, where we are right now, we have what is called the discipling of young criminals. So you have adult criminals who are not just recruiting young people to be in their gang. They're recruiting young people to recruit other people. They understand the power that youth has over
influence, youth. The influence, yeah.
So until we really get to decide, when you had A&R Robinson's daughter flat on the ground trying to intervene in Tranquility Government Secondary School, she was flat on the ground, all right?
You know, Tranquil students are still be all about that, like at the corner of Frederick and Park Street, sometimes fighting to this day, even all on Queen Street there by the library and things like that, fighting on the
secondary school. The police out there, but they're fighting in the classroom, and they're fighting outside of the school compound. I think we had opportunities to take action, and we failed to take action because of the divisive nature of the politics.
The politics.
I tell you what I mean by that.
Mm.
I will tell you a case that I had to deal with, and it was a situation whereby the guidance counselor, I don't want to say the latest guidance counselor and social workers, mm-hmm. the government is employing them yet,
mm-hmm.
but there's a need for them in the school,
right.
And I say that in a very non-critical manner. There's a need. This girl called me. She was a Christian, and she said, Pastor, I want you to come to the school. I want you to come to two schools, St. Joseph Secondary, mm-hmm. and Blanchard Secondary.
Mm.
So I went to those two with her. All right? But you know that North Coast there is loaded, all right, with the narco element.
Mm-hmm.
There's no two ways about that. So I went to the school, and she showed me a spot where a young man, Form 4 student, came to school in uniform. There are many parents who think their children are coming to school, but many days they're not in school.
They're
with the drug lord.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she found him by the gate. So she went to him, and she says to him, listen, it's time for you to come to school. You're wasting your life. He said, I didn't come in uniform today to come to school.
Hmm.
There are guys in Form 4 and Form 5 who owe me money for cocaine.
What?
And I've come to collect.
Form 4 and Form 5?
Yes.
For cocaine, is it?
Yeah, cocaine. She says, I've come to collect.
Hmm.
So you have some beast in human form who using our young people.
Yeah, but why is that so cool for young people to be involved in this gang and this, you know?
Well, a mother from Maloney told me why it is so cool.
Hmm.
She came to my office. She said, Pastor, my son has been recruited by a drug dealer in Trumacac.
Hmm.
And he is now the watchman.
Mm-hmm.
And she says he could get killed any time. I said, why you say that? She said, well, the amount of money getting from the drug men he feels comfortable. He mm-hmm. felt comfortable until he lost the brand's name seekers he had.
Yeah.
So right now he and the thief at war, so he could die at any minute. And I must tell you something, I don't feel the media does enough to warn young people of what could happen to them in a bizarre manner.
Mm-hmm.
When I did the program People Can Change for CNC3,
mm-hmm.
I remember one day I had a gruesome video. And CNC3 tell me, no, that's too gruesome, we can't push it. I say, well, if we don't educate young people
mm-hmm.
in where they could end up and how they could end up, they will feel it's cool. Because
right.
you get in $1,000 a week
mm-hmm.
to be a watchman.
Yeah, you feel that.
You don't want anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
You live in school.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care about whether you pass or not.
Yeah.
And another thing I think we have to look at carefully in the medium term and long term. Let's look at the case last year, late last year, of the two girls from...
Well, but I just want to take it back to where you say the media isn't doing enough. Right now, you don't necessarily need the traditional media to reach young people. To have social media, these young people on Instagram,
yes.
on the TikTok more than anything else. If you want to bring back that program on those mediums, you could do that.
Well, listen, hear this. The situation is one where... It is crazy. You had these two young girls
mm-hmm.
who are behind bars right now. And by the way, watch how women are being wiped out, because Sipasad Singh, the big criminal statistician in UAE, he is saying what we knew on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
He is saying that the gap between number of male offenders and female offenders is narrowing.
Narrowing, yeah.
So I'm dealing with a girl right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I think the police scared of her, because I am dealing with
the
her
police scared
trying
of her.
To rescue
mm-hmm.
the family,
mm-hmm.
all right? It's a Lopino family, I should tell you.
Right.
And I think where she has reached, all right, that even guys, male guys, you know, they are nervous about her shooting capacity.
She's shooting?
Her shooting, yes, that's what I said, her shooting capacity.
Hmm.
So that... And I feel we in the church, we have to do more.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. We expect the government to implement state emergencies and to try and purify both the army and police, because I went to rescue a girl from a police station in South. And immediately my life was in danger, because she was with a drug lord, a church girl,
mm-hmm.
a church girl,
a
with,
church
a
girl with a drug lord.
You know what the police did me? I had a driver with me. They stage a roadblock just to stop me, you know.
From coming?
From the intervention, yes. But I still went. But they didn't profile me, they profiled the driver. And a young police officer told me, you pastors have a problem, you don't have mediation skills. So I asked him, why I need mediation skills to tell the girl to stay with the drug lord who is guarded by a soldier and a police? They were operational within the police and the army, so that unless you have courage to give away, I'm telling you, you ain't getting involved in that, you know.
Yeah, but how the hell you think that does a church girl end up with a drug lord?
Because, you see, some of the girls in the church, they feel that life is not exciting enough in the church.
Church boring.
I heard a pastor say that in my training program yesterday in Coquille. And Coquille was famous for the fact that a drug lord driving a vehicle, chased by the police, took a young 16-year-old, his young 16-year-old girlfriend, and held her in front of his face. So she took the bullets. And I mean, people may have short memories, but I am a short memory. That is a crazy thing. And right now, I'll tell you, and I'm grieving now because we lost one of our guys in the drug group. I'm telling you, he was shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wasn't shot and killed. He died from natural causes, because these fellas are over-smoking and over-drinking to calm their head. A lot of young guys in gangs, we think they're happier.
Yeah.
A lot of them are worried stiff, and they're drinking their lives to death to cope with the antagonism that is present in this
but
society.
But if it's that kind of life you're living and you ain't happy and think, why get involved with it? In the food? Is it because of the recruitment thing that I tell you, listen, if you enjoy this gang, I will kill you? Or kill your family.
I know one guy who stood up to the gangs in Chinapumova. Now, people don't know, but I have worked in that area. I think I started working in that area over 30 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
And this guy decided that he was not, and I think we have to do more. And I come at the media again, whether it's social media or mainstream media, in terms of highlighting guys who are I call the real heroes, this guy decided he was not going to join a gang. And he'd go up to fifth form and sixth form. When he passed his O-levels at that time, you know what happened? They came out for him. He got a song curtailed and he said, you could beat me, you have to kill me. I'm going to do A-levels and I'm going to university. This one guy.
Yeah.
So it's not a case where people are just being randomly shot, but people who want to do right are also shot at within the community. And you have to ask yourself, where are the fathers? I have two fathers recently, and both of them exported their young sons. Both of them. This father used to go in the Congo in Arima. Congo in Arima, not an easy place.
Yeah.
I had a father who tell me, say, Pa, I went inside the area, and the father told me, say, Pastor, if I pass by the dial in Arima and I see my son dead, I would just walk over him. He said, imagine, I send my son, all right, away from this community to his uncle, only to hear the uncle pushing drugs too. That's what the father telling me. So that is, I think it is much more complex than that people think. And I also feel when people like me say, I don't mind a state emergency for the next 3 years. I didn't mind those.
Yeah.
I was in Jamaica.
So you were for these Ozo things?
Oh, yes. Oh,
Tell us why.
Because I was in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a month observing Zozo in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And when a certain journalist told me, Pastor, that's what Jamaica dying for here. See, you're talking nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Jamaica jumped from almost 200 a year to 900 now. You understand? So it has some value now. The latest from Homeland Security is the Youth Vulnerability Program. Zahir Ali, the policy advisor, he's no longer a police now. He's now the policy advisor to the minister. They have a program called Reaching Vulnerable Youth, and they're going to roll it out in the next 2 months. And I applauded them, because with this also, you have to have programs like that to reach out to youth. I am all for a national service program that picks up young people off the street.
Right.
I am all for it.
We used to call that the service, the national service.
National service. Yeah. Now, again, the politicians and the religious fanatics had cast a bad light on that program, you know, because of selfishness. But nothing wrong with that. But coming back to Jamaica. I went to Jamaica. I stayed in some areas. I visited some areas that Zozo was effective on. And when I went there and I saw what was happening, I say, praise the Lord, because you have to, Zozo. The one thing I don't like with the Zozo bill was the issue of the prime minister determining where the hotspots are.
Right.
I felt that that was not only an embarrassing situation for any prime minister, but it wasn't well thought out.
Yeah, but she wouldn't have gotten them, you know, like but wouldn't have had a consultation, or she had a meeting with certain people and find on the
mission. Well, I hear what I am saying.
I don't think
I am saying, because it wasn't so in Jamaica. What I am saying is, let your Security Council determine that. Because when you put that role on her, you're giving her a role that could compromise her. So that I am saying, I agree to the opposition in terms of that. Okay? But I also feel some of the comments I heard about Zozo is by people living in denial.
Right, yeah.
We in hell. I mean, I am honestly telling you, when the father and son, the father and wife, common law wife, got shot and killed in the Cooper Recreation Park. The 3-year-old daughter was close to the mother, you know.
Right.
And that didn't faze the killer at all. So what do we have is some ruthless fellas.
Yeah,
and the other thing I want to say is the Latin American assassins. Whether Maduro send them here or not,
I don't know.
But they are here.
They are here.
And they are playing a vicious role.
The kind of killings you're seeing here is not just, you know.
Remember the young Guerra Gil? They found some Spanish fellas digging a grave, a shallow grave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When the police went to them and asked them, what you're doing here? They said, we paid to dig a grave to bury the skill. We just paid. But some of them are more involved than just digging a grave. They're involved in the gruesomeness. You know, they've highlighted on TikTok now, the La Romaine Central School. I went into that school when a Roman Catholic woman, a lovely human being, was in charge. I remember a teacher called me because they gave me 84 guys who were involved in gangs. And I remember a teacher called me. She said, Pastor.
In that one school?
That one school. That one school.
84?
And when I went in there, you know, they were moving all those guys to do football. And I tell the principal, you know something? You don't have power? I'll give you power today. Stop that vehicle and tell your physical fitness teacher, you are the principal, and you are going to complain about him. When you give a command, because a teacher called me and said, it's a male chauvinist society, you know. If that principal was a man, they said they had a man there. They gave him some rhino name or whatever. Yeah. And you dare not go against what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they put this lady now, and everybody running over. I say, I'll give you the power that you lack.
Yeah. I've been saying for a long time, in a lot of our schools, they are too much. This is not no feminist statement or something. We have too many females teaching in school.
I agree that.
Yeah.
I interrupted a play. Mm. In Barataria North Secondary, a pastor's wife called me to talk to some students, and guys come up a piece of 2x4 and was breaking down the door. I tell you how I handled that. I didn't handle it like a pastor at all. I handled it like a kind of hooligan too.
Mm-hmm.
I faced the hooliganism with hooliganism. Mm. They go in after the teacher, you know. Let me tell you that, because when you see someone, she was a bigger one, but when you look at the size of these teachers, and female teachers, mostly.
Yeah.
When you look at them, they can't handle them.
No, they're just small. I mean, it is.
So listen.
Even some of the men on them, teachers.
I'll tell you how I handle this one.
Yeah.
Open the door. And these were, to move the point about Eric Williams' good intention, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Mm.
They were morning shift students harassing the evening shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened the door. I say, you know, fellas, I just want to tell you something. Supposing I have a gun right now. Supposing I have a gun.
Yeah.
I say, but I really don't have one, huh? But one day you'll meet some fellas who will have a weapon and they'll wipe you out. Come inside.
Mm-hmm.
Them fellas didn't say a word, they come inside. That was the end of the misconduct. I'm not saying everybody could do that, huh? I'm not saying everybody could do that. And I know big one myself.
Yeah.
But what I am saying, when those fellas looked at me, they saw a genuine approach.
You had to have some kahunas, man. We need people with more kahunas.
Yes, of course. And the thing is, they came in there and the truth be told, some of what we're doing now, we should do it years ago. But we didn't do it years ago. So the truth is, we face it right now, and we have to do it now to save the society, because this society is on the brink of total collapse, you know.
Yeah,
total collapse. And I'm glad the media, this media house, allows me to say that, because it is the truth.
Mm.
The society is on the brink of total collapse. This situation I give you in Tobago is four top criminals involved in it, you know, including one in jail.
Mm.
When I went to the twin stories in Mova, because Pandey got killed. When I say Pandey, he was a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only young guy that wasn't PNM in that area. So you cycle him and call him Pandey. He was shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand he had killed somebody before.
Yeah.
But you know who killed him?
Mm-hmm.
The guy from the prison. Mm-hmm. Knocked him out.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Knocked him out because he crossed the borderline. This is your borderline. So something we have to investigate thoroughly to her.
Yeah.
What I am saying today is that policing and being a soldier is more than just what I call the one-stop shop. A fella commit a crime, you look to take him out. All right? That when Guerra, let me find your name called Daniel Guerra. Two parents from my church in Chiquito. Sandbridge Chiquito called me. They say, Pastor, we grieving. I say, why? He said, my son ignored the Muslim Eid in the quarry, who told him, join them, we can't do no business. And he bought a piece of expensive equipment to do quarrying, legal quarrying, on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And they told him that can't happen here. And that was the end of the boy.
Mm.
He bought a piece of equipment that signaled his intention to go it alone. And I served on the Police Service Commission.
Mm.
And it's not that successive governments didn't know, 2006 to 2009, and a police officer wrote us and told us about four corrupt people in four different professions doing illegal quarrying, and nothing happened after that.
Mm-hmm.
The hierarchy of the police force refused to intervene. It shows you how compromised and corrupt the society is, so they can't like me. You know what they were saying about me and Shabadi in the Gomartin Youth Club?
Mm-hmm.
What they say about us? That we are just training a group of informers.
Yeah.
We're not really concerned about the young people. We're training a group of youth informers. And that is how the corrupt cops will marginalize you to satisfy.
But as we started our discussion, I'm surprised at us. Like I say, government after government, nobody has come to you and, you know, implore the expertise. I always say, like, if you really want to deal with this crime, I would put together like an all-star team then.
I agree.
You as a man had to be my all-star team. Yourself, Rene Cummins, you know, David
Shabody.
David Mohammed. I would call Gary Griffith. There are certain people you must call and come and put together if you're really serious about this crime, an all-star team. These people are not serious.
Well, I think what has happened is that we want, when it comes to projects, government come and government go.
Mm-hmm.
What my opinion is, we're looking for to put in position, all right, as the interventionist, people that are close to us,
mm-hmm.
so they will get the done time.
Right.
I feel that it's because you must know those of us on the ground
mm-hmm.
who cry out for support. You listen to Shabody, I'm the PRO for that youth club, so I could talk with authority on youth clubs.
Yeah.
And he would tell you, Pastor Sanos, I can't even get an OJT.
Hmm.
Now, what in heaven's name is that? And I'll be honest with you, the first thing I tell him is, I hear Ali when I meet with him next week, because he's asked to have a meeting. He said, Pastor, you can't have no youth intervention program and you're not involved.
Mm-hmm.
He says, listen, the first thing I want to tell him, I said, you see, folks like Shabody, the all-star team, let us set up, I'm using your term, team of fellas who have a proven track record, who are not corrupt, who are not looking for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, that is not their agenda. Their agenda is the nation.
Right.
They're not looking to make no money and that kind of thing. They ain't pushing no politics. What they want to do is to save the young people. And I am saying, the Pentecostal Crusaders, my group in Love Until Church Street there, you know, we have a foundation inside here, established 20 years now. All of that. Silval, for example. All right? Tell all the groups, let us start with them. Mm. Those with the proven track record. Don't bring no party act to set up no NGO now just to make money. Because my group in power.
Yeah.
Look at people who have a proven track record and tell them, listen, what it would take to double your outreach. You're helping out. Okay, I'm giving exact numbers now. St. James Police Youth Club is mm-hmm. 120 youth we're impacting on.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose they want to impact upon 400 mm-hmm. and you expand that, what you would really need.
Yeah,
so I'm saying start with those who are in the trenches. Let me tell you something, a frightening thing about intervening in this crime thing is that I would say 25 years ago when I was in full flight, you had about 8 of us in the trenches among the bullets.
Mm.
Now if you have 3, you have plenty.
Yeah, but
anybody ever
threaten you over the years, say, Pastor? Really?
Yeah, I have survived 12 death threats. Mm-hmm. I make a joke of it when I'm talking to students now.
Mm-hmm.
I say, well, you know, 11 of them dead and I didn't kill them.
Mm, wow.
You understand? That's to help me cope with the thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at this stage and age of my life, you know, you're looking at that. The other thing I want to bring in this conversation is the issue of hearing God's call for your life.
Mm-hmm.
When you know that God's call for your life, no criminal can threaten you and intimidate you to stop what you're doing, you know. Because the major weapon of the criminal is not so much the gun, you know, it's intimidation.
Yeah.
So they're trying to cripple your desire to make a difference in the society.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God, I survive, I 76 now.
Hmm.
I started this walk at age 30, you know, and I am here. I don't come with no bodyguard inside here, although there are people who tell me, Pastor, you have to stop saying that. You have to tell the state a man like you should have some level of protection. And I tell them I depend on divine protection.
Because
if you depend on some people in the state, you go nowhere, you do nothing.
And them are all setting you up.
You see, that's the harshness of the thing.
Yeah.
That is the harshness of the thing. Mm. This fella called me, Stephen. He said, Pastor, the case going to start, you know. You should have shoot up the financial consultant who going to be a witness and say he know my father from all these years and it's their land. He could attest to that.
Mm.
His car got shut up. I'm telling you, and he's a senior bank officer.
Hmm.
His car got shut up.
But in terms of reaching the youths, what are we doing? I mean, I know you have the Shabody and the youth clubs and things, but are we doing what we really need to do to reach these youths? Sometimes the youths, it's a messenger they need, you know, maybe somebody looking like them or something. What are we really doing to reach the youths out there?
I think the mylet on my part must be decentralized.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it should be decentralized. I think the youth camps must be expanded. And what I think we need in this country if I had to take over the Ministry of Youth, mm-hmm. it's a national teenage adoption program, you know.
Ah, boy. It's something like some years ago, I'm talking about 10, almost 15 years ago.
Yes.
I wrote to the two telecommunications company we have and tell them, listen, you see all these other artists and things always be taken and endorsing and giving money. That is all well and good. But let's make it cool for to see some youths do good. Let me see a young person on a billboard. So when somebody passing, they can say,
exactly.
Look, Michelle, Michelle get a phone and an endorsement from so-so-so boy. Look, Michelle, and what Michelle do? She study her work, she thinks, she listen to her parents and she doing well in sports and thing or whatever. And that could have encouraged young people, you know?
Hello.
Never take it on.
I endorse what you say 1,000,000%. Mm-hmm. But we're not doing that. And there's a reason why we're not doing that. Let me tell you something. There are people in this country who benefit from crime and their desire is never to stop crime. Because
yeah.
they see themselves as becoming bankrupt and irrelevant if crime stops.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where we are. So you have to have the cahoots, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the balls to really take this thing by the cup. Because we know what has to be done. I keep saying that.
Mm-hmm.
We know what has to be done. But there are a number of people in this society who do not wish for crime to stop.
Yeah.
And we have to deal with them too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could be wrong. And this could be my last day on the planet. But I want to say this. I believe the Honorable Prime Minister wants to do something about the hierarchy of the drug trade. Now, let me tell you what's going on. You have a combination. We cannot fight that with this army and police force that we have. The first reason why we cannot fight it, because we lack the spiritual power.
Mm-hmm.
Because too many of the guys involved with those who are the enemies of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So you need, because you're facing the Latin American mafia. I was in Dubai last year, right? Well, you know, Dubai getting Pong from Iran,
mm-hmm.
big time.
Yeah.
So that I hope he gets some humility. That's Maktoum, who is the leader. They built an airport for $3 trillion, you know.
Hmm.
That's where what I call the aristocratic arrogance has reached.
Hmm.
And then they want to set up, the drug mafia wants to set up a bridge between Mexico and China. And they want Dubai to be the stop-off point.
Hmm.
One of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where the world is going. So you fighting a $1 trillion empire, you know, and weapons like that. Remember the first murder this year? The fellas by Besson Street, they had AR-15 guns walking freely, all right, on the ground, you know. They just killed a fella, mm-hmm. and they didn't hide the gun. They're walking freely. So that I am saying to you that we need a benevolent dictatorship in this country with good ideas who not just...
a dictatorship, you see?
Yes, I am saying that because what is happening here is that we think, we love to say it's a minority corrupt.
Mm.
That is not true at all.
Yeah.
One parent came to me, but I came back to the case in Coover when they shot the parents in front of the three-year-old girl and the 10-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the mother said? The mother said, and I quote her, I think her name was Patricia Clark. She says, I want to tell Kamala something. Two things I want to tell her. I agree, it's a lawless dump. You know the next thing she said?
Mm-hmm.
She says, those who are killing and killing in implement capital punishment. She says, implement capital punishment. That's what a mother who hurting for her son.
Implement capital punishment.
That's what she said.
Now, we'd have a lot of people would say, all right, you know, the intervention of the outside and thing, but there are things that could be done here at home. But this government don't support it, opposition don't support it. When in opposition, they think they don't support. And everything that goes on into the parliament with policies, you know, the parliament, as your boy Rowley Jr.
The issue of the parliament is divisive.
Mm.
And they keep pushing, you know. They keep pushing. For example, this last comment that the former PM made about who is a Jamaican, who is not a Jamaican.
Uh-huh.
Now, very distasteful. But what I am saying is, that is the crowning piece of the divisiveness in the society, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. The present crop we have, I don't see no coming together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, what I see is bitterness. What I see is, as Clyde Eller talk about hatred and thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I see.
It's war.
What I see, Clive Nunes had said one day in another station.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could have been this one too. He says if the prime minister and the leader of the opposition could walk up Lavantil Hill together, all right, it will send a message that will be an excellent message. Clive Nunes, a dynamic trade unionist, made that statement.
Yeah.
And although it might seem impossible to happen, we have to keep that before the eyes of our leaders, because people expect a lot higher from what they see, you know, and that is what happens there. By the way, I am taking care of two Hindu sisters. I have a list of about 50 to 60 that I am personally intervening on, including the Bakatanapuna, the zone, all right? I want up to 2 children from the zone. And I'm telling you, until we have more people with a heart to save the young people, we aren't getting very far.
We're going
to
take some calls just now, people. 625-2257, 627-3223, Pastor Clive Dutton is here. What about parenting? Because at the end of the day, Pastor, if people could have, I wasn't mover, you know, they could have come on me with drugs, this, that, or whatever. But for me, I didn't want to make my mother shame, grandmother shame, my family shame. I would have never
get involved. Me and Belmont, same thing.
Get involved in drugs. So what about the parent element?
I think that's number one.
Parents know.
Like, I think that is number one. That is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're getting there, all right, we have to act where we could act. I think the church, all right, in terms of playing a role with the empowerment of parents, with the transformation of the attitude of parents. There's some parents tell the children, if the teacher hit you, cough down the teacher, you know.
Parents tell the children that.
Yes. I'm telling you. So that when you have that kind of situation, you're in trouble. But I think the number one challenge is the issue of parents. And I'm not shifting the blame from other areas that should take the necessary blame.
But I think
number one is parents. And that's why I feel your first line of intervention, really speaking, should be the church, you know. We should see that as that issue of family enrichment, parenting enrichment, we call it. That should be number one. And when I say religion, I don't only mean Christians. I mean Muslims, Hindus, Baha'i, Buddhists, Adventists, 9 days, 109 days. We should play a leading role in terms of restoring. And I would suggest to the powers that be that we need to have a family discipleship program where we empower parents to empower other parents. And parents getting younger. You know what Maurice Marshall said one day? I'll never forget. I had the deepest respect for him. He was one politician I thought had a sense of humility to change this country. When he said one day, when you start to have a 30-year-old grandmother, your society is in collapse mode.
It almost reached there.
It reached there. It reached there. All right? So before they're ready to be parents, they're already grandparents. And he said that's a serious thing. So I am saying the church cannot escape. Not that some churches are doing a lot, but a lot more needs to be done.
Yeah, the church.
And I am saying we must be so tied to a political party that when an idea comes when your party not in power, you don't help. And I must tell you, I see discrimination in the church too and prejudice. I see all of that. And where we are in our own church community, we must call that out, you know, and don't affirm it. You know, that has to be important. But I believe the church has a major role to play.
Yeah, man. All right, Mr. B, ask some pastor. Nothing. Who can influence to change these youths from being taken advantage of by the drug pusher? Does it start with parenting or other state intervention?
I believe it has to go collaboratively. Both the state, all right, and the parents. I had a policeman who's a parent. He's a sergeant. He told me, my son told me, because my son, right, was in the cocaine business. He was 19 years old. And he says one night for his birthday, he came home. Well, his sister found him in his car, in his vomit, completely spaced out. He was on cocaine, 19 years old. He said he got so mad because his son disrespected his wife that night. So he went to him and tell him, he said, "It's the pastor, I armed, and I mad like hell. And I tell my son at 2 o'clock in the morning, let me tell you something, I feel like I could kill you now." You know, his son told him, "Long before you planned to kill me, I was planning to kill you." The son actually told him that. So it's your parenting. And thank God, you say, "Pastor, I should not tell my son that." And I recognize that. But it's the level of frustration I reach, you know, so that I believe that this guy, I can't remember his name now, but he had started Operation Salvation in Mova. And he called upon the Adventists and the Pentecostals to join him in a proactive parenting campaign. And I thought that was a heavy idea. you know, the politicians in warm towards that.
Yeah, we have a lot of good ideas, but they don't want it. They don't want it.
Yeah, that. So it's, don't it's not, it. We don't have a shortage of good ideas.
Yeah.
And we have people who, if most of them, if they are given a certain level of protection, will go forward.
Yeah.
That's why I tell you, I am not sure this society at large wants the criminal enterprise to be paralyzed. Let me tell you something. Where it reached right now, we had to go for the jugular, you know.
Mm.
I'm sorry to tell you that. But that where we reach right now, I am a pastor saying that we have to go for the jugular.
Yeah, man. Another question, good afternoon. The police service has failed the state. The government is still taking taxpayers' money and still paying them police service. Don't understand the meaning of the word police. They want to staff the police service. Where you say the police and all of these things, we have police who need criminal activity, soldiers who need criminal activity.
You know? That is the major problem. Mm. And by the way, I remember police came before us when I was in the Police Service Commission. There's a pastor and told the rest of the committee there. Uh-huh. Christopher Thomas was in charge. He's now dead. He said, you know something? Young second division police officers who want to get ahead, they know how to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Just pander to the wishes of the corrupt first division officers.
Uh-huh.
He came before us and told us that. Young police are telling you, you want to get ahead? You just link up, become affiliated to those who are crooked. So that is how some young police officers see it.
Mm.
And therefore, where it reached now, I want to tell you, where it reached now, it reached a stage that we, a minute away from the blowout, you know, when I say a minute, I'm talking relatively speaking, we are a minute away from that. And the country has got to realize that, and governments and opposition must stop playing around because we on the brink.
That's right.
And I told Zaire Ali and Roger Alexander, the rest of them, this is the last roll of the dice.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are right now is the last roll of the dice.
The egg about to crack here right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
The last roll of the dice.
But you, as we talk in police, but you being a former one in the police service commission there, in terms of how we choose a commissioner, what do you think about that?
My problem with that is that for years, we made a mistake. We gave the head of the country, the head of the government, veto power for what? That has emasculated the Police Service Commission. We must know whoever it is, all right? I always say, let the Police Service Commission choose the commissioner, you know.
I
that is my view. And I think people like Bess and the others agree with me. Let the Police Service Commission choose their commissioner. Or remove the whip from both parties and let them vote for who they think without paying a political price. Because when you go against your political leader in the parliament, you are dead goose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that too, the constitution has to be reformed to deal with that. But that will take years to change, you understand? Given the lack of collaborative spirit between the both parties.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm pause right on here.
Yes.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bates. You can hear me? Yeah, I'm Mr. Dutton.
Pastor Clive. Ooh, Clive Dutton, yeah, Pastor Dutton, yes.
Yeah, the old warrior working with no compensation and no reward, but you're getting a reward in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Bates, I want to say, all you're talking about the young children, the young person, the young society. Right, the government, the state, supposed to put things in place for the undesirables. Right? And even those who go into school and give in trouble,
mm-hmm.
they have a system in place.
Okay.
You understand? Okay, you don't want to just drag them out of school. You have to have a system where you put them, bring back discipline, and you keep them for a little period of time and then back into the school system. So we have to have systems in place, even for those on the street who drop out of school, who are going to the block. Because you see, we have a system that working. The so-called gang, you know, won't be able to get them, you know.
They will find out.
They would have an alternative.
Would
have an alternative. So we need a system. And I want them to bring in the, what they call it, the military control, because in America that does it, eh?
The boot camp kind of thing.
Yeah, the boot camp kind of thing. We need that insurance for a long time. Program on lockdown and listening.
All right, man. But when we hear things like that, Pastor, I just say people, what the government to do the job for them as, again, as parents. You want the government to do your job for you as a person. Now, yeah, some people fall along the wayside and yeah, things in place. They say, they might, but if you instill values, what tell them what the Bible say now?
Yes, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go.
Oh, gosh.
When he's old, he will not depart from
it.
Meaning, he may go off the rails, but he will come back.
Right.
You know? And I hold on to that text. Although some people don't like that text at all, but they don't want responsibility.
And listen what you say. You make the child, but you don't make the mind. That's nonsense.
Mm-hmm. But you know, London cracked gangs. Although 6, 7, and 8 penetrated the gang story in London. Our 6, 7, and 8 penetrated that. I went to St. Lucia last year, and I was amazed to see 6 and 7 in the primary school.
Yeah, primary school.
And it originated from here, you know. That's a brand we're modeling for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So that I am definitely saying that I agree with you. Okay, the state has a role to play and the parents have a role to play. But the first people, the child knows is the parents.
It's the parents, you know. Or whoever growing up.
As delinquent as the parent could be.
Yeah.
Is the first model he's seeing.
Exactly. I take our next call. Hello. 625-2257, 627-3223. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, after only 3 months, almost 90 murders, no detection and conviction, this government should be ashamed continuing with this police service.
No detection. I mean, the detection and thing too. People just getting shot here, there, and everywhere, and no detection. Is it because it's mostly gang-affiliated? Why they didn't want to do anything about it? But it seems like, you know, no detection at all. Very little. The police and the police work that they do. I like to watch a lot of them TV shows, the CSI and the FBI. Kind of say the only place crime just gets off is on TV.
I heard one officer saying that's a fairy tale, but a lot of what you're seeing in those programs, my brother likes to watch them too, and sometimes I join him.
You could instill a lot of those things here?
Yes, yes.
The first thing
when you go
for a camera is the CCTV footage, you know? You go for a camera and think of the way they investigate and the way they are. They're so dedicated to finding, you know, what it is about. And of course, they get a lot of information to people feel safe giving them information. Imagine people feel safe giving a guy on a TV show at 6 o'clock and calling him more information and coming and giving to the police. You know, why is that?
Yes, and you might criticize that guy, but he's playing a definite role.
He's
in
a man
society.
At the BND and the All-Star team.
He's playing a significant role, no matter what you say about the guy.
Yeah.
He's playing. He's on the ground too.
Yeah, exactly. And people trust him.
Yes.
People trust him, and trust is very important.
And they're giving me information.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Mr. Bass, Mr. Dutton.
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Dutton, there's a big cop out. Yes, here from the people over and over how we stop corporate punishment in school. Did they ever stop corporate punishment in the homes, sir? Second thing. When I see Mr. Zai Ali next week, sir, I want you to recommend somebody on that team with you.
Yes, yes.
You see that fellow sitting across from you there?
Yes.
Yeah?
You, me?
Action, put him on board.
Right.
Trust me, you can't go wrong with that fella.
Okay.
All right? Good. Thanks for the time.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your confidence, sir. Yeah, boy. Take another call there. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Bess.
Good afternoon,
Pastor.
Yes.
Hi.
But here is Pastor. Problem in society today is parenting. Parents are children's greatest enemy. They know everything, see everything, and pretend that they doesn't know. Right? The children are working away. Right? And they come in with the brands. They come in with money, giving them, handling them. You understand what I'm saying? The mother asks them where they get from, and they know they're working it. And they can't talk to the children. They can't speak to them and living in the same house. Some parents are threatened by their own children and afraid of Matsu. And that's also societies today. This generation really is probably a generation of vipers. And some of the parents, they are worse than vipers. Because they are the problem, you know. Because when you could tell me a 14-year-old and a 13-year-old be giving birth to a child, what you can really teach your child? What you can really tell a child?
You are correct.
Also?
You are correct. You
that's
are
problem,
correct.
Pastor?
You are one? Correct. But you know something, Brother Bass, everybody calling here. Let me just say this, huh? We went, Strabin and I, he's Catholic, I'm Adventist.
Yeah.
So there was no religious barrier. So we worked together.
Yeah.
And that fella in Lopino, I worked with him for 30 years, pulling young people out of the den. And, you know, we went to this house. Police tried to intervene, all kind of thing. The mother told me what got her concern. Now, the mother is a fourth stage cancer patient, and the son was getting exposed to guns and using ganja.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she'll put her foot down. Now, apparently, the mother and father had differences in how to discipline the child.
Right.
And that's a major problem.
Yeah, there's always...
That is a major... Because children are good slave masters,
of
you know.
Of course, they could manipulate it.
They know to
which one.
They know to divide and rule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that mother told me, she said, Pastor, I'm a fourth stage cancer survivor.
Hmm.
And I told my son, in the absence of the father taking a very solid position in terms of discipline, she says, I will be the father too. She said, listen, the school finished in 3 by 5, you should be home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he did? He come home 9 o'clock that night,
what?
Break open the door and kick his mother in the face.
We,
and nobody intervened with that in terms, because the parents don't want to tell the police, they feel shame.
Mm-hmm.
In my family, we church people, you understand what's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
And I am saying, definitely, we have to change our approach to these things and forget the false pride and make sure the boy gets the discipline. The law is for the lawless, even in your home.
Mm-hmm.
I want to repeat that.
That's right.
The law is for the lawless, even in your home.
Mm-hmm. Because home is where everything does start.
That's where it starts.
Yeah. I have a thing I've been saying for years, people don't like when I say this. Women, I usually say women, not generalize, but some women encourage crime. A lot of women encourage crime. Mothers know what your son doing, aunts, cousins, some of these gangster fellas, watch me, Pastor Dutton has some of the prettiest, most beautiful women around them, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're getting money to do the hair, the nails, the this, the that, whatever it is, you know? You know, like the Trin City just call and say there, you know your son works nowhere, he wearing the latest brands, driving best car, getting your money to pay rent, buy food and thing, and you in concern, all you know is you're getting a dollar when the month come, you know? You stop encouraging crime, and it have men will talk and talk and talk, and nothing will be done. You know, so it really, really is really something, by.
Yes.
All right, hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon again, Bess and Pastor Dutton.
Yes.
Bess, we talk a lot of the social implication, Pastor Dutton, I mean, which you have been talking about for years. I don't go down there because I know these things happen every day in all sorts of country. One of the big things that I wanted to hear from you in relation to my thing is legislation into dealing with the bigger crime, the crime that involves the lower people, because to me, if we still get finding drugs in the droves and nobody being arrested, that's the root cause. What are the law pertaining to the root cause? There's no law. What are we dealing in relation to bail and guns? There was a previous commissioner asked for bail to deal with it from the perspective, and he was not given that opportunity. So while we talk about children making children at 15 and that kind of thing, yes, that can happen in all countries. But the bigger picture for me, because that is in the minority, the question of crime to deal with at the level at which we should, we're not speaking about that at all. And not only that, there was a recent legislation to protect children making a law that adults being over 18. And in the political space, Pastor Dutton, there were politicians defending it. So my thing is, you serve on the commission. Why the commission can't be responsible for the performance of the commissioner and not the government?
I agree. But listen, you're pushing an open door here,
mm-hmm.
because I believe that. Even for the choice of the commissioner, that don't have to go to parliament. I agree with you.
I leave it to expound on these things, sir.
I agree with you totally. And we are very good at passing bills, sir.
Yeah.
We don't have the will to implement the bill.
That's right.
I am waiting to see what will happen now. Because a few days ago, they said, we have passed the law, no smoking in public. We're going to implement it. Let us see what will happen.
Hmm.
Let us see what will happen with that. You're saying the police came out and said, if you break the law in terms of smoking in public places, you will be punished according to the law.
Hmm.
I am calling on the powers that be.
I just see school children smoking weed
smoking
and
down the road.
In the school
smoking
uniform.
Smoking down the road.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hmm.
Let us see if we are serious for once in this nation about the law. I endorse you, sir. We're on the same page.
Yeah. All right. Hello, good afternoon. All right. 625-2257-627-3223. Somebody's saying here, why the army and police are not patrolling the whole country? Right. Good afternoon. I just tuned in. Somebody said the police should be ashamed. But I think the parents should be more ashamed. Some of them need policing because they encourage lawlessness. To the caller who said this government should be ashamed, Pastor Dutton, do you think we should be blaming the present government when the PNM ruled this country for most of our lives and they allowed it to get out of hand? Right. I mean, we always want to blame this one.
The blaming thing is unfortunate. And I don't want to defend this government, but the point is, April 28th, you know, it's just about a year. Mm-hmm. So that what I'm saying is, when a government does wrong, we must call them out. Whichever side, including the side we vote for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that kind of maturity is missing in the country. You know, so you want to find a scapegoat because you have to defend your party at all costs.
Yeah.
And that, to my mind, is a major problem that we have.
Hmm.
You're right. You're correct on that.
All right. Let me take two more. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Hello?
Hello, Bass.
Yes.
A very good afternoon to you, Bass. A very good afternoon to Pastor Dutton.
Good afternoon.
Yes. It is instructive, Bass, that you chose to bring Pastor Dutton into the studio on today's date. And if you throw your mind back, Pastor Dutton and Bass, on the 23rd of March 2015, 11 years ago, something happened in this country. And it caught everybody by surprise. The Police Social and Welfare Association, headed at the time by one Annan Ramesa, and the secretary was Michael Seals. And for the better part of 6.5 hours, Bass and Pastor Dutton, a handful of junior police officers chose to ground this country to
shut it down.
Shut it down. 11 years to this date, and nobody, the senior officers up to today, nobody has been held accountable for that. For a mere 4 years after 2019, the then Commissioner of Police, Gary Griffith, said, all he described it was a very sad day for policing in the country. No disciplinary action against those a handful of junior officers. Mm-hmm. That is how they were described.
All right, look, even now with the body cams, to get these officers to wear their body cams. It's like you had to beg them.
Yeah, that is the caller is touching the issue of accountability. Yeah.
Right.
The lack of accountability in the country. Nobody is held generally to account for what they have done. Mm-hmm. They're misconducting public office.
Yes, after they like to do a sort of commission of inquiry. Look at this morning. There was this plea incident in LaGuardia, and already, right? They say, well, the air traffic controller, they say he messed up. Like, already he is being held accountable because I'm the number one man when it comes to landing the plane. But by the end of day today, they will find out who is accountable for that plane crash today. I mean, you can't do anything without accountability. But in this place, boy, somebody said we need laws of vaping in public. Look at vaping. A lot of these young people, the vaping, when they use the smoke.
Yes,
thing,
yes,
smoking,
yes.
The vaping. How it is a parent could not know? I mean, I know children could be very the hiding thing and this and that.
They're creative.
You know, but then you could be a parent, the child living in your house, the child ain't paying no rent, the child closing the door, had the most of that privacy and all kind of thing, and you ain't know what is certain things going on with your child, boy. You know, I don't understand that.
So there's a breakdown across the board,
mm-hmm.
but starting with the home.
It's hard to start with the home.
Is where you pay the biggest price.
Mm-hmm.
For the breakdown in the society.
Yeah.
You face the biggest price there. And we must talk the truth, whether it hurt us, or hurt the party we're voting for, or hurt our race,
mm-hmm.
or hurt our religion,
yeah.
we must talk the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we lack that too. We lack that too, the issue of declaring the truth rather than covering up
mm-hmm.
for those that are close to us. The nepotism is, you know, it's too heavy in the country.
Yeah, boy. All right, Pastor Dutton, I'd like to thank you very much. Anything else you'd like to say before you leave? I mean, anything that's going on with you?
I just want to say that the time has come for us to unite with people of different races, different religions,
mm-hmm.
different classes, to pull this society together. But whatever we're doing, I just want to say, my opinion is, this is the last chance we have for a throw of the dice to make a difference.
The last straw here, boy.
The last straw.
Yeah.
And we must understand that.
And with you on that.
And put country before self.
And country before party.
And before party.
Yeah.
Correct.
As well
correct.
Too. All right.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.